everybody. We're back with Flock and Gather. It is September 9th today. I'm with a good friend of mine, a longtime good friend and golfing buddy, Monty Zwang, who's up in Bellevue. That's Seattle, Washington. How are you, Monty?
I'm doing great, Alan. How about yourself?
Awesome. Monty runs Wellness Capital. A lot of people know me. He has hundreds of clients across the country. But what I respect the most about Monty is, even though I once swung a golf club and cut him over the eye on his forehead, he's still willing to play golf with me. That's true, right, Monty?
It was my approach and your approach to convert me to Harry Potter. I really appreciate it.
Well, let's see. I think we both ended up playing well that day, but next time we'll figure out how to stay just there.
I don't remember a thing.
Yeah, you don't. That's right. At least we had a cloth to cover the blood with. So all good in that regard. I have to tell you, I feel horrible for the folks in California. 2.5 million acres, Monty, of wildfire. The big one, totally unnecessary. People doing fireworks. Who does fireworks when it's red flag, 100 plus degree? Did you see that they had 121 degrees in LA yesterday?
Crazy, crazy. I think that was a gender reveal too. They were announcing the sex of their to come baby. And I know, terrifying. I've got two relatives that are firefighters, and we just, you know, call them every day and just make sure that everything's okay.
Yeah, it's the same. You know, no one gives enough credit to the first responders. I mean, these people absolutely, they're frontlining it, literally risking their life every time they go to work. I walk down the hall to go to my office. That doesn't count anymore.
Mm-hmm. Nope. I think that's what most people are doing. Yeah, that's what most people are doing.
Say, before we get started, I just wanted to tell our listeners too, I noticed the calendar of trade shows is all of a sudden starting to fill up for next year. So one would assume we will have a vaccine for the China virus. We'll have some semblance of gathering, right? I mean, I think the show started in November with IACSC in Fort Lauderdale, but then Monty, I've got them February, March, April, May, June, all kind of booked up next year already. Have you noticed?
Yeah, I'm a little slow to make my reservations at this point. I just need to see what's going on. We're we're just sort of picking up where we were last year as far as the Questex deal, and it's just, yeah, I think people are getting a little bit more comfortable with it. It just depends how many people are there. I mean, yeah. We just don't know. We just don't know. And yes, if there's a vaccine and people are taking it and actually kind of warranting that they've had it, then, let's see what happens. But, 4,000 people is 4,000 people.
Yep. Well, for those that don't know, Questex is the parent company for the IECSC shows. Everybody knows they're four times a year, with the big one generally in June in Las Vegas. So they're scheduled for Jacksonville in November, and I've had a lot of pluses, Monty. People want to go, but in the meantime, October, another virtual show coming up, and you're right. You get 3,000-4,000 people showing up for a virtual show, I'd call that a good day, wouldn't you?
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, anything we can do to stay connected. This is, we all are on our own, and, we're going to work, and we're talking to people, and I get calls every day about what can I do and what does this phase one plus mean, and oh my gosh, unfortunately I'm feeling ill and I'm going to close down my spa for 3 weeks. We're seeing that every day, and with anytime we can get together as a group or at least communicate together, I think it's completely positive.
Wonderful. Well, let's talk about something that you happen to be an industry expert on, and that's numbers, numbers, numbers. I've watched you over, how many years have we known each other now? 15 or something
since
like that?
You bailed on Brazil, so it has to be at least 10, 12 years, right?
Well, we'll go with that. But that turned out well, but that's a story for another Flock and Gather podcast. In the meantime, one of the things that I'm hearing when I speak with directors and owners who are out in the field who have now opened their facilities at 25, 50, 75, 100%. They are busy. One of the things that hasn't been clarified yet is, what does my new revenue model look like? How is each room going to pay for itself? What are my additional costs for cleaning my facility? So give me a few minutes, Monty, on what you're hearing from your clients about how they're managing through these difficult times, and what are we looking for revenue?
You know, it depends on what phase you are and what your state allows you to do. They've all got these various phases of reopening, and they start with one and get up to four. Some states haven't even gotten to two. And California, as you mentioned before, is, you know, has opened and then reclosed. I've got clients in Kentucky that have stayed open. I've got Tennessee that has opened. They've all gotten to a point where they open and they appear to be slammed initially, right from the get-go. But some of these requirements, these government requirements or guidelines, talk about you can only operate if you maintain social distancing and if you're maintaining all of the guidelines that they provide. And so even though we're busy, we may only be busy at 50% because that's all we can avail our create in our spas or make available in our spas. We're finding that the maintenance programs, the things that people were absolutely in dire straits to have once you reopened, things like hair, nails, Botox, therapeutic massage, people were going in as quickly as they could. Initially, there was a big push on med spa type of programs and cool sculpting and that type of stuff. That slowed down after the initial open, but now I'm starting to hear that people are open and they're busy, but what are they doing? They've closed down their lobbies. They've closed down their relaxation areas. They've had to allocate more time in between appointments for cleaning and sanitation. They've had to go out and acquire, in some regards, plastic dividers. If they've got an open salon, everybody's wearing masks. The PPE in some situations has required an initial pretty good size investment in air circulation. There's also been a pretty big investment on the front end for masks and everything else. And what I'm seeing is it's adding anywhere from $1.50 to $6 per treatment, depending on what you're doing. There's wow.
That's a mouthful of get mm-hmm. open, isn't it?
Yeah. And then you got to hope that nobody's sick. You got to hope that you're following the guidelines. You're testing people as they're walking in. Their walk-ins I've seen happen in salons, but certainly nails probably less. People are questioning whether they should be raising prices because they can't do as many services as they were before. So does it make sense to have a COVID surcharge, or does it just make sense to keep your same pricing? But it is costing you more, and it's taking probably 5 to 10 points off of your cost of doing sales. We're adding that to it.
All right, let me go back and address a few of these things if you can play some Q&A with me. Mm-hmm. If you're only open X percent, is there a direct correlation between what you have to do with your expenses that they have to drop X percent?
Good question. There's the fluctuating expenses, the direct costs that go up and down with every service. Things like your professional supplies, your labor, your merchant fees, your laundry, all those things go up and down. And those go into what we call gross profit margin. What I'm suggesting, and I know it's not comfortable, is when you look at your overhead items, things like your rent, which is the big one, your marketing, your insurance, your utilities, those type of things, I'm suggesting that everybody go to the providers or landlords or leaseholders or whoever and negotiate the same percentage that you were doing pre-COVID for that particular. So you may have a $3,000 rent, for example, and that might have been 10% of your sales pre-COVID. So now, if you're doing, instead of the $30,000 a month, you're doing 15, you still want to go back and negotiate that only to be 10% of your sales so that you can maintain, albeit less, but some sort of profit margin.
Okay, that makes perfect sense to me. Okay, you mentioned marketing in there. Marketing always close to my heart. You still need to go speak to your clients, correct? So what about getting on the phone and calling them? I mean, everyone's buried with email and everything else. Should you be doing a little of everything? Email, blog, social, phone calls, what? What do you think?
I think most businesses have the opportunity, first and foremost, to reach out to their memberships. I think that's really important because a lot of my clients have certainly been maintaining that relationship with them or conversation with them through their closure. But yes, absolutely. Who's been on your books within the last 6 months and what are we doing to reach out to them to let them know that you're open and to let them know that you're doing everything humanly possible to provide a safe and secure work place for them to come and enjoy.
Okay.
What we're finding though is the environment is a little bit more guarded, I guess. It's the even though people are getting the service, it's still not that, it still feels like it's lacking a little bit of the love that we could give before, just because of the closeness that we have to, the distance we have to stay away.
Right. Monty, the cleansing thing, do you think that this, it's just a place, so you might not be spending money on other stuff, but you're gonna spend it on PPE, dividers, sanitation solutions, et cetera, et cetera. And is this where you kind of came up with the $1.50 to $6 extra per treatment based on that?
Yeah, and one thing you wanna talk about is linens, you know? Do you have, what do they call them, microbial or whatever? Linens, those are pricey. And what about face cradles and how often are you changing those and how much time are you allowing for additional sanitation in between services? I mean, that affects your productivity as well.
Yeah, that just shrunk the revenue of the day down, didn't it? If you're now spending an extra 10, 15 minutes cleaning before each treatment.
For now, and quite honestly, these are probably best practices that we need to maintain forever. I mean, we're learning what the benefit of sanitation is because it's keeping our environment safe. I know that we all thought we were doing that before. This puts an additional training in our part to do that.
Got it. Monty, what about sick employees? What have your clients been doing? A team member. Mm-hmm. If they call and they say, I'm sick, they're out, right?
Stay home.
And if they come in, you should be for sure temp checking everyone, correct?
Yes, but as we know, this is asymptomatic. So I'm hoping that the testing becomes very, very inexpensive and very, very quick in the response and the results that you get. Right now, it's pretty cumbersome. There's a saliva test that's coming and things like that. And we can't really administer those, but we really need to, if we have a sick employee and they're not sure what they've got to get tested before you should allow them back in the environment.
Monty, I've never been a fan of showing it. Do you remember when there was I can't remember what it was called. It showed up in, it was probably all over the country, the medical tax where they were adding 2.5% to each visit. They don't do that anymore. It was the medical equipment tax or whatever it
right,
was called.
Right, right, yeah.
I don't want to go visit my spa down the street and see a Corona tax. on it. I would really think if you have the ability to raise prices $5 a treatment, you should raise them $5 a treatment.
As long as it doesn't scare your guests away.
Well, that's, I guess, something you got to find out, right? And it's back to test again, because until you test it, you don't know, do you?
Right. And the other thing is that our guests are in a completely different space than they were before. I mean, they might have survived and are recovered from COVID. They might not be back to work. They might be back to work at a lesser level. I mean, their economics and their ability to pay on a more regular basis might happen. What we found in 2008 after that recession is that people were coming in, but instead of coming in every month, they were coming in every 6 to 7 weeks. So the rebooking was slower after that recession. We haven't really seen that yet, but since a lot of the things that people buy are on programs and series, you buy a Cool Sculpting series, you're going to be in twice that month, so it's pretty much covered. But what we're finding with, you know, people are going longer without haircuts. People are going longer without getting their brows done. You know, how long can you wait between pedicures? I mean, that's kind of what we are going to see as we go on, just because people don't want to feel like they're taking a risk when they come in for these personal services.
Right. Do you know, it's interesting, but near me, there is an Elements up the street. In fact, I'm getting ready to book a massage. They can't hire enough people. Did you know that?
I've heard that.
That's pretty crazy if you ask me, but that's what it is, right?
And Hand in Stone is doing a real aggressive marketing up here.
Right. In fact, I have one of those too. I know there's one in the area. I'm going to have to find it. All right, Monty, last thing for today. Mm-hmm. Talk to our listeners about the tax issues very briefly. It's been an oddball year. They haven't been open. There's been quarterlies to pay. Then the April 15th deadline was put. What are the top two or three things they should know about taxes today?
Well, there have been some tax deferrals that have they've gone city, state, and national. You've seen some ability to put off your first quarter taxes and maybe put those off. It was initially 8 weeks, then it went to 24, then it went to 40 weeks. This stuff changes constantly. Now what they're talking about, or what's out there, is a payroll tax. Our president says that you're not going to have to pay payroll tax. That's not exactly true. It's basically you don't pay it now, but the employee has to pay it next year. That seems really cumbersome. And even though we can't give tax advice, we're kind of recommending to our clients that let's just not do that. It's an optional program, right? And the employers get to decide.
That'll be a big one. That means you're going to be busy come tax season again, and I'm glad for you.
Thank you, sir.
Monty Zwang at Wellness Capital. He is a numbers industry in our business, has been for a very long time. You should either reach out to talk about the finances of your spa with him, or you should play golf with him, right, Monty? Either one is okay.
Hey, you know, profitability is always a good thing. We're always happy to talk and give somebody a free half hour just to chat and see if we can help.
I love it. Monty, always great speaking with you. And for our listeners, remember, be kind to each other. See you at Flock and Gather again.
Be well, be safe.
Hey, friends. Again, thanks for joining us for the Flock and Gather podcast. Special thanks to Monty at Wellness Capital Management. With good numbers, guidance, a budget, and management plan, your medical clinic, wellness business, or spa will grow from a small business to a very successful, better business. Visit them at wellnesscapital.com, WellnessCapital.com. Thanks again, folks. See you next time.